Diablo. Lead, never follow. Check out Diablo's full range at diablotools.com.au.
Hey everyone, it's Luke, Margot and Dobbo. This afternoon on The Catch Up, you're going to hear an incredible story from Dobbo, which could result in him being in federal parliament. I've said too much. Listen to The Catch Up if you want to hear any more. Also, should we have a new national anthem? Margot thinks so. She reckons the anthem we've got at the moment absolutely sucks. And yesterday at the Ecker, we had the first ever Dagwood eating competition. The guy that won it is the number one ranked Australian competitive eater. He joins us on the show this afternoon. It's quite an incredible story. You'll hear it if you listen to this. It's The Catch Up and it's starting right now. Well, yesterday at the Ecker, there was such a cool thing. You know, they have that like Coney Island hot dog eating competition every year in America. Joey Chestnut, he's like a legend of it. Well, the Ecker yesterday kickstarted their own competitive eating competition. And the guy to beat was this bloke by the name of Hulk Smash Food. That's his name. He's our number one ranked competitive eater.
Mm-hmm.
He smashed him.
Smashed him.
As his name would suggest, he smashed him. He downed. Well, we'll allow him to tell us how many he downed because he's joining us right now. Congratulations on your awesome victory yesterday, Hulk Smash Food. Well done, mate.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
And we've been told from our producer we have to call you Hulk. Is that right?
Oh, that's pretty much what I get called now. From the last 3 years I've been doing it, I don't really get my regular name much anymore.
Mate, I've got two questions for you, and I hope you don't take this as rude, but I'm dying to know. Firstly, how many did you do yesterday to win the competition, and are you a big fella?
No, I float around 85 to 90 kilos. I'm about 6 foot. So, not as blokes go, I'm pretty average size. Yesterday, the comp wasn't really an amount comp. It was a speed comp. So they gave us 10 of the jumbo Dagwood dogs that are sort of pretty famous up there. And it was the fastest to eat the 10 jumbo Dagwood dogs.
And you won?
Yeah, we got it down in about, I think it was 3:45.
Can I ask, where does this talent come from? I mean, at the birthday parties when you were a kid, did you used to smash the Cheerio jar? Or is that like, you know, like, where did this come from?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I never really had it early. And then maybe four years ago now, I went and did one of those sort of pub Palmer ones that you see around most pubs have. And I did that and finished it and did another one and finished it. And then I sort of thought, oh, I really want to have a look for a competition against other people rather than just against the food. Found one that was like a meter-long German sausage and Steiner beer and sauerkraut, and there was like 40 people in the comp. And on the first go, I beat the guy that was, I think, ranked in the top three in Australia. And sort of after that, it just snowballed. I kept finding other ones and kept winning, and it sort of just snowballed from there.
Hulk, your title is professional eater. Does this mean you do this as a living?
Yep.
Do you get paid? How do you make it work?
Well, you can get paid through, so the Australian league, the competing.com.au has the rankings and you get points on that.
Okay.
So then if places around Australia have their sanctioned events, they have their prize money you can make money off. And if you're a ranked eater, you get into those events. Also, being ranked 10th in the world, you have by World All Pro Eating, you get sponsorship through that, and they'll fly you out to do events in America and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's good prize money. And then through that also, you get other sponsors, whether it be hats, T-shirts, any of that sort of stuff.
I'm just reading here a bit of your resume here. It says you're the reigning Luna Park hot dog champion. He's won Lord of the Sausage. I don't want to brag, but I won that during Schoolies Week, don't I? Also, you represented Australia at the World Championships in New York. Now, two questions. Firstly, when you represent Australia as a competitive eater, do you get an Australian tracksuit? And secondly, how did you go over there?
It wasn't so much an Australian tracksuit. We were sponsored by a root beer company, actually. So we did have an Australian uniform for the four of us and the coach. I think going in, we were probably ranked about 16th. In the world, and we finished third 2 years ago. So, I think America took it out, and because it's massive over there, as you're saying, with Joey Chestnut and that. And then it's massive in Japan as well. So Japan finished second. We finished third. We actually beat the UK in a playoff for third. So it's good to have one over the poms.
Has there been anything that stopped you? I mean, you know, you look like you've done, in 3 minutes, you've done 10 Dagwood dogs. Is there anything that you've had that's actually, you know, it's
struggled
or broken you?
Yeah, I've done 278 comps and I've won 275, so far I've lost three. Those three have never been finished by anyone. They're still undefeated. But, yeah, the one was a giant pizza, metre and a half by a metre, and then a bowl of chili chips and a stein of beer, and I just ran out of time.
I'll tell you who doesn't like him.
Who?
The toilet bowl.
No, I was going to say. Yeah. Mate. Seriously, talk to us about that. Like, what was the damage this morning after 10 hot dogs?
Yeah, no damage at all this morning. It doesn't really work like that. They say probably the number one question we get is what that's like, and that's really one of the two main questions we get. But, yeah, the body processes it pretty well. And when you're doing it so long and then during the week you're eating healthy anyway, and we don't train with food, we're mostly training with massive amounts of water to stretch our stomachs. So, okay. Yeah, you don't really have any issues like that. Well, I personally haven't.
So. What about a food coma?
Definitely. That is real.
Is it really? Yeah.
Hey, that is definitely real.
Hulk Smash Food, our number one ranked competitive eater in Australia. All the best, mate, on winning the tournament yesterday. We'll hopefully see you back here next year to repeat the performance, and all best at the World Champs coming up. Well done.
Thanks very much, mate.
Hey, I went to the Ecker yesterday, and it was bloody awesome.
Was it good?
Can I just say, like...
How long's it been since you've been?
Oh, 2 or 3 years.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good gap.
The kids have been little, you know, and like River's 2 and a half now and, you know, she got it a little bit, like the fun of it, whereas before she would have just sat in a pram, so we just didn't go.
Can I ask you a question? And do you know how much you dropped?
Not as much as we thought we were going to. About
500.
No, less. $300 to $350, right. Maybe. $300 to $400.
Side note quickly, I'm with you. I had to buy show bags, $3 for $12.
Yeah.
I bought three of them.
It's really reasonable.
Two Cadburys and a Caramello, yep. And then over one to Squidgy, and I think that was 15. I got out of there and I was like, $30, I bought four show bags, done and dusted.
They've still got the Birdie Beetle for a buck.
Yeah, $2.
That's your two-year-old. They won't even know.
That's what she got.
That was the top-selling bag, apparently.
Yeah. Of course it is. It's
quarter of a million or something.
Well, I said to the kids they could pick one themed bag and then one small chocolate bag, so one of those 3 for $12 ones. And River just got the $2 Birdie Beetle bag. She was happy with
that. Did you stay for the shows and all that?
Yeah, so we got there sort of like mid-lunchtime and we stayed all afternoon. We did all the animals and the rides and Sideshow Alley for the little kids because my kids are all under 8, so that suits them perfectly. We don't need to go over to the big side for the big rides, but we did the show bags and we set ourselves up. We got a really good spot in the arena to watch the fireworks. We got in there just before 6 o'clock. They had the first set of fireworks for all the young kids so that the parents could get them home and off to bed. But we ended up staying and there was V8 utes, there was horse riding, there was motorbikes, there was monster trucks. They had like a beautiful, like olden day country, like show.
Yeah, the night show was spectacular.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Phenomenal.
Really, really, really well done. Anyway, throughout the course of this Ecker Nights thing that they do, they had Waltzing Matilda as a song that got sung by all the actors in this performance part. They sang I Still Call Australia Home, and then obviously we had the national anthem at one point.
Right.
I'm sitting there thinking, singing all three, and it's not until you sing all three together you realise how you feel about each of the songs.
Right.
And like the national anthem, you get up and everybody sings it and it's, you know, there you go.
Ours is, I mean, I'm patriotic, but
anyway,
ours isn't as good as others.
No, of course it's not.
Free.
It's not as good as the other ones.
You sing it, and then you sing, I still call Australia home. And it reminds you of the Qantas ad, which is awesome, you know, and it always creates good memories and a good feeling inside. And then they had this play, and it was Waltzing Matilda.
There's a song.
Once a jolly song, can't buy a billabong.
Well, the Wallabies used to do it, Dobbo, and the whole crowd would sing Waltzing Matilda.
Yeah.
And it was
Waltzing Matilda.
I mean, who knows? It's so Australian.
Yeah,
so
it's not a national anthem.
Could have been, mate. Could have been.
Why?
Well, this is the
thing. We're not going to talk about a billabong. Like, you know,
we talk about Gert by Sea, mate. Like,
our home is Gert by Sea.
Yeah, but who speaks that way?
I don't even know what that means.
They wrote the song in 1900 or 1700 or whatever.
If you talk to an Aussie, have you ever seen an Aussie overseas saying, is Australia landlocked or is it? No, mate. We're Gert by Sea. We're Gert by Sea in Australia.
Luke, when you sing the Scottish anthem, do you ever sing O Flower of Scotland?
I don't sing the Scottish anthem.
No, but what I'm saying is they're traditions. I understand Waltzing Matilda, but I mean, I don't think it's a national anthem. I mean, come up with a new national anthem, write a new one. But I don't think
Waltzing Matilda.
Well, I just thought, once I'd sung all three of them, that I was much more excited about singing Waltzing Matilda and I Still Call Australia Home than I was our own national anthem.
Really?
Because afterwards, I don't even know.
What would you say, if you had your choice right now as your national anthem, say you'd get rid of Advance Australia Fair and go with Waltzing Matilda?
I would.
Well, I think there's better options.
Than Waltzing Matilda.
Horses by Darryl Braithwaite. That could be the national anthem. I reckon every time I go out, that's True the song blue. That finishes up the night.
True Blue.
Yeah.
Hey, True Blue. No, that's too slow. Need something that's upbeat.
You know, when we decided on Australia's national anthem, it was only in the 70s, and we had that gay plebiscite last year, was it? Or was it? Yeah, last year. The plebiscite that we had prior to the plebiscite for gay marriage, the last plebiscite we had as a country was for Australia's national anthem.
Oh, and we picked that.
Our choices were God Save the Queen, Waltzing Matilda, Advance Australia Fair, and some other song that was even worse than Advance
Highway
Australia
to Hell,
Fair.
Highway to Hell, ACDC.
That's the one, yeah.
Well, people are calling through. Maybe they think that they know what the national anthem should be. Give us a call.
Yeah, let's take some suggestions.
Should it be something else? Or
someone's going to say KSR.
Are you proud of the one we got? I want to know.
All right, well, we'll take some suggestions. Maybe we'll get a new national anthem out of it.
Maybe another plebiscite.
Doing our bit for Australia today.
Yes.
The phones have gone off here with suggestions coming from you about what you think our national anthem should be outside of Advance Australia Fair. And Andre from Darra, what's your suggestion?
Should be Great Southern Land. Absolute pearler. Hairs on the neck, back your neck, stand up.
Well, does what it says.
Is there rock and roll. No confusing words in there like Gert, I'm sure.
There's no Gert by C in there. Hey, thanks for your call, mate. Appreciate it.
No worries.
Good on ya, Andre. Craig from Butterham, what do you got for us, mate?
I think we need to have We Are Australia. I don't agree with Waltzing Matilda. We can't have a song where someone's done the wrong thing and taken their own life. I can't see someone accepting a gold medal with that playing.
I didn't actually know that's the meaning of the song. I just thought a guy camped up by a billabong and waited till his billy boiled.
I'm a teacher and I'm doing poetry analysis with my Year 5 class.
Okay.
It's actually based on the great shearer strike of 1891, by the name of Samuel Hofmeister, burnt down a shearing shed. Overseer and three troopers went after him. And, I won't go into too much detail on radio, but, yeah,
hey, mate, way
he
to be
his own life.
Way to be a bit of a Debbie Downer on a Monday afternoon.
We'll cross that one off the list, Craig.
Anytime you can prove Margot wrong, mate, you're welcome on the show anytime.
No worries.
Thanks,
Vic. Speed dial.
Yeah, thank you, mate.
Brother. Put me on speed dial, he said.
Craig, we'll talk to you again, mate. Stu from Southport, Wayne, what's your suggestion?
Mate, Jimmy Barnes, working class man.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you remember correctly, there was Adam Hills one night sung it on stage.
Oh, he did say, yeah, he did Advance Australia Fair to the tune of...
That should be carved in stone.
Yeah, but the problem is, mate, we're in this politically correct gender equality world now.
It'd have to be a working class person.
Shut up, Dobbo. Yeah. You're the one, mate, banging on about Waltzing Matilda not being up to scratch and standard because, you know, there's a bit of a downer in there, okay?
Someone burnt something
down.
Yeah,
someone burnt something down and shot himself by the billabong or something, and all of a sudden you're all politically correct and up in arms, mate. Don't go turning,
gender
changing
equality,
now.
Mate. Gender equality.
Get that guy back on the phone, the teacher bloke.
Okay, well, from the Australian anthem to Australian politics, Dobbo, without giving too much away, you've been approached to do something.
There's a reason that I've had this approach, and I could be, and still could be, potentially the Deputy Prime Minister of this country.
Could I just say, if this story is correct,
it's true.
I know a little bit about what Dobbo's about to tell us, but if this story is correct, it's going to be one of the most amazing stories you hear this week. Forget about today. It will be, it's an incredible.
This is a true story.
If it's true, we'll get into it for you coming up next.
It's the Rush Hour this afternoon. Luke Dobbo and Margot Parker.
A lot of you aren't going to believe this, but this story is 100% true and explains a lot now in the recent days with the events. There's obviously potentially a challenge going on in Australian politics at the moment, and a gentleman by the name who is a real trooper, Peter Dutton, is the
Queensland boy.
Yeah, Immigration and Border Protection Minister and the Minister for Home Affairs is leading the challenge. And fingers crossed, he will be one day the Prime Minister. He's a hell of a good bloke and a proper politician. Anyway, game one.
Okay.
Game one.
of State of Origin was in Melbourne this year. I'm staying at the Park Height where the Queensland team's staying.
Fancy.
And KG's down there and she says to me, there's a message on your phone in your room. The light was flashing. I said, whatever. She said, I'm going to play it. This is not a word of a lie. It says, g'day Dobbo, it's Peter Dutton here. Here's my mobile number. I'm staying at the same motel as you. I'd love to have a drink with you.
Have you ever met him before?
Never met him.
So how does he know you and that you're there?
Margo, as I just said, he's the Minister for Home Affairs.
So he knows where
Immigration
everyone is.
And Border Protection.
You never met him?
I've never met him, never spoken to him. Right. Never met him.
And so did he call you Dobbo or Ben?
No,
Ben
Dobbo.
Dobbo. Go on.
So I ring the mobile number and I said, Peter, it's Ben Dobbin. Hey, mate, how are you going? I'm staying at the same place you are. I'd love to catch up with you for a drink. I said, all right. Well, Billy Slater had just been ruled out of game one and Kalen Ponga was flying in from Newcastle. So Channel 9 said...
Did Peter say, if I ask you the time, don't tell me how the clock works?
No, no. So I said to Peter, right, I'm going to go out to the airport to bounce Kalen Ponga, get an interview with him. When I come back, he said, well, I've got some dinner I've got to go to. Anyway, 10:30 that night, I go down to the bar at the Park Height and there he is sitting alone, Peter Dutton, and he has security around him because obviously he gets rid of a lot of people off out of this country that are illegal immigrants and, you know, there are people that don't like him.
Some haters.
What happened?
He says to me, have you ever considered running in politics?
Oh, did he?
For Ipswich Mayor?
No, no, no. Greater.
He like would have federal. Heard
the... He what? Said, have you ever considered federal? A career in politics?
Right.
What are your credentials?
Margo.
What's anyone's credentials?
Margo.
Well, you got... well, generally they work it's... their way through
no,
the run, don't they?
You don't go to university, you become a politician. I'm doing the, you know, I'm, you know.
So not... we talked about it and we talked a lot about it.
What did you say?
Well, I asked a lot of questions. I said, you're joking to start off with. He goes, no, I'm serious. We've talked about it at the party level and we would like you to consider maybe... potentially running for politics.
Liberal now,
this
party.
Is, this is party. The LNP, Liberal National Party. This is 100% as true as I stand here.
Aren't you a greenie, though?
But Dobbo, so he's teed up a meeting to ask you to join the LNP and potentially run for federal politics.
Yes.
What did you say to him? What was your answer? Where was it left?
My exact starting point was... I have a lot of skeletons in the closet. I don't know if I'd really fit in.
What did he say to that?
You'd be fine.
Really?
Yeah. And so I wasn't quite sure. Anyway, we've since spoken a few times and we've been talking. And I've wondered why he recruited me at the time. I really did.
Why were you on his radar?
He could be Prime Minister.
Well, he's about to become Prime Minister. And I knew that he wanted a deputy. And that's why he has got
up. If the shoe fits.
He thought.
The deputy part is BS.
It's BS. But he dead set recruited me, tried to recruit me.
Tried to. Have you given him an answer or is it still up in the air?
We've still got some more talking. Obviously, he's got a bit going on at the moment. I'd like to get him on our show at some stage.
I want to get him on the show to see if it's legit.
Like, it is 100% legit. It is 100% legit.
I just want to know why you.
If we get Peter Dutton on the show, I'll believe you.
I want to hear it from his... Did he stiff you with the bill as well?
You have his number. Why don't you just ring him up and say, come on our show?
Okay, we're going to get Peter Dutton on the show to verify the story, but Dobbo...
It won't be today.
Deputy Prime Minister Dobbo.
Diablo. Lead. Never follow. Check out Diablo's full range at diablotools.com.au.